There's only one way to righteousness, not my righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy, but I am righteous through His righteousness. And the way to get to righteousness is stop trying to do it myself and accept not the faith of Dave Ebaugh, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. I'm wrong, I get excited. Let's go over to Colossians for a minute. Colossians 2, and the two words we're looking for in verse 8 and verse 20, but we'll just go, you know how I am. We'll pick a few around it first to get the context. I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Lacedonia, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of, what's the next word?
Understanding.
Understanding. Now listen, when Jesus planted the seed, it says the seed that fell on the bad ground was because they had no understanding. But those who had understanding, they're the ones who brought forth fruit. Remember? Matthew 13? Key is the understanding. He said, I've got to tell you this, because those guys over there, having eyes, they see not, ears, they hear not, but I'm going to give you eyes that, and ears that
hear,
so that you will understand. Because in the day of the judgment, it'll be said, did you know it? Did you hear it? Yep. Did you understand it? No. Why not? Well, I didn't have eyes to see and I didn't have ears to hear. Because he said, if I give them eyes that see and ears that hear, I'll have to heal them. Come on, Bible students. And that doesn't make sense to us, because we want to run around laying hands on everybody and bringing everybody into this big thing. Come on now. But Jesus says, nope. It's given to some and not to some, others. You see, we don't think that way. He sent the gospel unto the Gentiles that they all might be saved. He said he sent the gospel unto the Gentiles to call out a people for his name. In Colossians, in whom, where am I? Verse 2. Hearts knit together in love, to the understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. What's the mystery of God? Well, later on he tells us what the mystery of God is, that the gospel would be preached to the Gentiles. That's the mystery of God. Now, the mystery of God is that we Gentiles are coming into the truth, even when we eat bacon. You didn't catch that. Bacon. Even when you eat bacon, you get into the kingdom. And that's a big mystery. Because to those guys, you couldn't eat bacon, because it wasn't kosher. It was against the
law.
But you can eat bacon now and get in, because it's not by my righteousness, it's by
His
righteousness. When will we ever learn? What takes us so long as to think we can do this and not do that and add this and take that off? And everywhere we go. How many, now it's been a while since I've seen some of you folks, how many have heard since I saw you last some preacher come along and tell you had to do this or had to not do that? How many have heard that since I saw you last? Let's see your hands. Most everybody here. All those are traditions and commandments of men mixed with the law of Moses, and it's time, if you're going to get into the kingdom, not if, when you get into the kingdom, you get rid of all those tares, weeds, pull them out. When God told Jeremiah to build, he said, Jeremiah, before you build, uproot, throw down, tear down, get rid of, wipe it out, and start again. Is that what he told Jeremiah? When he's going to build something, is that what he told Jeremiah? Is that what he did to Noah? Follow the principles? Is that what he did? I'm going to give you a clean sweep, Noah. What do you think about the next time? But what's the after now? The systems that are based on, not Jesus Christ, but on the law of
Moses.
That would make us think that we can do anything to find favor with God outside Jesus Christ. If anybody tells you you can do anything to find favor with God, he's a part of that old system that's going to be, say it, burn up. That old system's going to burn up. How many have noticed lots of those systems smoldering? Have you seen the fire? Smell the smoke? Stinks. As those old systems are leaving us. Oh, by the way, it might sound to you like I'm too hard on the church. Mm-mm. I love the church. She had a purpose. There was a reason for all this. But if you continue to stay with your mama and never get the umbilical cord cut, or if it's not the umbilical cord, it could be the apron strings, then you never go through your baptism of fire, which is division or start your own thing. You see what I'm driving at? Then you'll never make it into the new one, the new world, the new thing. No, you can't. They're kind of heavy, aren't they? Yeah. Now, we needed her. Is there anybody mad at Mama? I approve. I needed her. I needed to be nourished and brought up by my mother. But there comes a time when a boy has to strike out on his own. Is that all right? There comes a time he has to be a man. There comes a time he has to leave his mama, get all the cords cut, and be his own boss. Unless you are a courtier to the Queen Mother. In which case, you'll spend the rest of your life nourishing your denomination. I wish you could hear that. There are courtiers in the court of every queen whose purpose is to nourish the court, nourish the queen, take care of things for her. Is that right? If this is your destiny, then discover your destiny and be happy in it. You'll never have anything to do with the new court. And, you know, when that reign is over with, why, you know, you'll have to go your own way because you're not a part of the new thing. Are you with me on this? Do you see what I'm driving at? But there are some people, instead of just being courtiers to the Queen Mother, are the Crown Prince, who are being trained to take over the kingdom when Mother's course is finished. And I believe I'm talking to kings and priests, joint heirs with Christ. I'm talking to some prince, crown princes here tonight who are still in Mother's court. You know why? Because for you, the kingdom hasn't been established. You don't know where we are. But there's something that churns within you and says, I'm not destined to forever be a courtier in my mother's court. My object is not just to serve in her court. I have a bigger manifest destiny. A bigger thing that must occur. Like I say, if that's not true in your life, there's nothing wrong with you. Mama needs courtiers. Mama needs people to stay there and nourish her. You know, pay the tithes and do all the things that keep that thing going. But there are people who are going on. Let me try one more law. You know the law of Moses says that when you take your tithe and present it before the Lord, that the animal that you've chosen for the tithe animal is to be killed, roasted, and you're to eat that animal. I don't know whether you caught that or not. You won't find any preacher that I've ever heard tell you to use your own tithe money for yourself. But the Bible says that you're to eat of your own tithe, your own self. And you know what that means? That it's quite proper to use some of your tithe money to buy books. Amen. And feed your own soul. In this case, you understand, we're out of the natural and into the soulish and spiritual. Amen. And it's quite proper to use part, now not all, because some of the tithe money went to the priests and some, you know, for the other things, but a portion of that tithe was used for the maintenance of the personal individual who owned that tithe. I know that's a little hard, you know, because after all, that's not what we've been hearing, but that's Bible. But praise God, you're not under the law to tithe. Now it's a new law. Hallelujah. Now he gets it all. And the law to tithe is superseded by a new law, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it's all his. There's always a time in everybody's life when we're the courtier in Mother's Court, in Queen Mother's Court. But there's a time like Daniel when he said, I must leave. He said, the 70 years are up, I must leave. Yeah. So I believe that it's quite proper. See, I'm not finding fault with anybody here. Have you heard me carefully? Yeah, I told you I don't care how you're living, you know, any of the situations. I wouldn't find fault with you because I give you an excuse for not, no matter what your situation is. The only trouble is that you're not mature. Every person here.
If your purpose is to bring them out of captivity.
Yes.
I don't think it's such a bad thing.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But you've got to remember this. There comes a time when you're going to leave the law of Moses. Now, this is not leaving church, not leaving denomination. Though many times it is. Many times it will require that. Still, that's not, you know, you can't write a specific rule. It won't work like that. Because a lot of churches are coming out themselves. A lot of church leaders are coming out themselves from that bondage. So we can't just, you know, say it's, you know, we can't paint church black. You know, that's wrong. But you know something? Most all of the seeds that have been planted in our minds came to us from our Sunday school, our quarterly. I'm talking about the seeds of tares that would make us think that we can find favor with God by anything but Jesus Christ. Come on, shake your head one way or the other. That's true. But we're not here to just condemn. We're here to build and help. And there's a way out for all those guys. Let's see. I don't even know where to start. I'm liable to quit teaching and start preaching in a minute if I don't hurry. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, jarring and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him. You know why I'm emphasizing in him now, don't you? Because I'm saying him, not Moses. And established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding there in thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the what? There's that word. Rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now this word rudiments, that's the law. The whole subject of the whole section here has been building up about the law. If you don't believe it, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances which is against us, so forth, having spoiled principalities and powers, so forth. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, respect of a holy day, new moon, Sabbath days. How many know these are all laws? And don't let anybody put you under condemnation. If you're free in Jesus Christ and being led of the Spirit, you're free from the law. Every time you've ever been depressed, it was because you allowed the law of Moses to come sneak in. And I mean that to every person here. Every person here, every time you've had a downer, it's because you've allowed the law of Moses to make you think that the reason that things aren't working right for you right now is because you're doing this, not doing that. Come on. And trying to find favor with God through the law of what? But we know that favor with God is through Jesus Christ. And he told us to do four things, and that's all. And that's the obedience that you're talking about over here. And without holiness, no man will see God. We're not knocking holiness. But what are these rules? What are these things that we're supposed to do? Certainly not the commandments and traditions of men. And on in Colossians, holiday, new moon, Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ, of the anointing. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't let anybody take out a reward. In voluntary humility, and in worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I don't know whether you're catching all this or not, but I have been in situations where somebody had a vision of this or that or the other thing and made the whole congregation do what he said they ought to do because of his vision or dream, that they might find favor with God. And you're finding favor with who?
Him.
The guy that ate the pickles.
Yeah.
You know, listen, if God tells you to do something, Jim, you better do it. God's not mealy-mouthed. He can tell me. Are you with me on this? Do you see what I'm driving at?
Amen. I believe.
Now, there are certain cases and certain people who are called as prophets. And those people will be established as prophets. And as prophets, they will be firmly established well ahead of time before God ever gives them a command that's hard for you to follow. You follow what I'm driving at there? And so those people will have already been established. You'll have had plenty of experience. You don't need to think that God's going to throw a trigger at you. He never does. You'll have plenty of chance to find out the prophets and determine whether a prophet is a prophet, whether his prophecy comes true. You remember the Deuteronomy 18 thing. And that's how we find out. Okay? And not holding the head from which all the body and joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the what is it? There they are. There you are. Dead, does that connect the word baptism? Does that connect the word fire? Does that connect the word division? Dead with Christ from these rudiments. The world. Why is the living of the world are you subject to those ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which are all the perish for the using of the commandments and the doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a logos show of wisdom in the real worship. Humility, neglecting the body. Not in any honor to the satisfying the flesh. Somebody give me a New Testament. I mean, Amplified. Or one of the modern versions. That might be a good one. Let me try that one. New Standard. I don't think that's just what I'm looking for. Does anybody else have a modern?
I haven't.
Hey, that'd be good, Bob.
What verse do you want precisely?
Well, let me try this one because I got the microphone. And if it doesn't work, I'll start in 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom. In self-made religion, that's pretty good. I like that better in this game. In self-abasement, and severe treatment of the body, but there are no value against fleshly indulgence. I think that pretty well, you know, it's a little bit better there than that King James. King James, kind of Dutchy. That pretty well establishes it. There are no value. Those are the rudiments. Those laws, traditions, commandments of men. Laws of Moses. Gospel of the circumcision. And we're free from it. But are we free? The answer is, Jesus set us free, but we're still on the path, getting free. And you're constantly besieged by well-meaning religious practitioners trying to bring you back to the safety of the fold. Come on. How many have had them, you know? Trying to bring you back to that safety to protect you from going out into an area that they haven't been themselves. So, if you're a Baptist, what's the main thing you warn people against? Say it. Say it. Tongues.
Cigarettes.
Yeah, if you're a Baptist, right? Isn't that right? Huh? Okay. Pentecostals, if you're a Methodist. No, Methodists don't dance in church. Lutherans do, is that right? Oh, some of the mods, but not the EUB, brother. Not that branch. Well, anyway, and on it goes. Are you with me on this? And then they find you doing something, they want to come out and give you another rule, another law, and bring you back to the safety of that thing. Most of us have discovered that the only way we're going to get anything from God is from God. Not through the structure. Now, the structure is neat, like mother is neat, to nourish us in our infancy. But there comes a time when you're going to have to read books not approved by the structure.
Hallelujah.
And even being on mailing lists where you have to hide the stuff that comes. Because, my friend, if you're a Baptist and are getting Voice magazine, you're going to have to hide it. But if you're in the full gospel businessman and get the spirit of the word, you're going to have to hide it. Do you see what I'm talking about? It's the same thing right down the line. Because every group, after it gets organized, wants to set the brakes and stop you within the confines of their understanding of God and never allow you to read anything, go someplace. But I want you to see something here again. I'm not trying to find fault with any group, but I want you to see each group sets its rules. They make a mold, and they call it God. And then they try to pour the Spirit in. But you know what happens? Every time you try to pour God in a mold, he slops over. You can't mold God. He's too big. He's too big for anybody's mold. And it's time we began to see. My personal opinion is this, that you should eat the grapes and spit out the seeds. And that means go ahead and subscribe to this and go ahead and read that and go ahead and go to that place and hear that person, and he can't hurt you. You ask the Father for an egg, you don't get stones and, you know, spipers and stuff like that. He's going to give you good stuff. If you ask for it, he'll tell you the bad stuff and you spit out the seed, that's all. And I'm not afraid for you. I think you're mature enough, and it's about time that we began to grow up. But there is a time in development of a little child where we don't expect that. And we pick their grapes and core their apples and protect the child from all those things. You see, those structures are mothers. And we need them when we're infants and growing. But those mothers somehow don't want us to mature. And they want to keep us forever tied to their apron strings. And that's not healthy. For we have a destiny to mature and go on in God. So, instead of making a public announcement and saying to you that you have to get approval to go here or there, let me send you off wherever you want to go. Go on.
go on. Tell us what it was like. Give us a report. I'm not scared. If you want to go here, go there. Hear this teacher, hear that preacher, go on. Check it out. I think you're mature enough now. I think you are mature enough now to go ahead and hear anybody, read any book. You don't have to have somebody come along and censor things for you and pit your grapes and core your apples. You're big enough to do it yourself. But not all structures feel that way. It's pretty obvious that our group is not structured. Not all structures feel that way. They want to protect you and perform that pairing operation themselves. Because after all, you might cut yourself. You might miss a seed. You might get sick. I don't feel that way because I'm not a shepherd. I'm a teacher. And shepherds take care of the little lambs. But teachers teach the kings and priests. The crown prince is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And those people have a marvelous destiny yet to perform. Those people are going on. They're going into their own kingdom. And they're not going to be bound to the law, the prophets, the denomination, the sectarians. They're going on into all truth, not stopping anywhere. This is the destiny that I believe is before you. If I don't quit, I'm going to start preaching. I'm getting excited. We have a destiny. It's more than just coming here to Tom's basement. This is neat. Thanks, Tom. But there are bigger things ahead than this. There's a great destiny for every person here. And we're going to be like joints that supply each other's needs. And it's called the body of, and every member in particular meeting each other's needs in general. And nobody here is too little or too big for this body of Christ. Nobody here is too fast or too slow. Nobody here has memorized too much scripture or too little scripture. Nobody here has read too much Bible or too little Bible. Every one of us has a place in this body of Christ. And can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? Of course not. For we all have a place to minister to each other's needs. Let's make sure that we understand that. For every person here. For there are some people here who haven't cracked the Bible in years that are here tonight. Others have probably read more Bible in the last day than some have read in a lifetime. We're not finding fault with anybody, but let's get on board. Get on this ark of safety because things are changing. Let's get out from the traditions and commandments that have been placed in us, tear those things out, start to follow what Jesus said, and receive more of the engrafted word. Whew, excuse me. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to his ordinances? Touch not, taste not, and handle not, which are to all perish with the using. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5:12. The word is principles. It's the same word as all the others. And this ends it. This is every reference to that word. That Greek word is going to burn up. For when? For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. What are the first principles? You need to learn the principles of the oracles of God. And I become as such as have need of milk. Not strong meat. The word is principles. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Righteousness, for he's obeyed. For you see, in the body of Christ, in this great building, we got babes. We got grandpas. We have to be careful. So you just don't let the kids know everything the grown-ups do. I wish you could hear that. Now, I got some people here tonight. I wish you could hear that. You don't let the kids know what the grown-ups do. And you think because you're free and get the freedom, then everybody else ought to be. You are not free to tell everybody else what the Holy Spirit's leading you. The Holy Spirit leads each person according to his own maturity. And you watch out for that, about leading other people into your realm of freedom. It says very clearly, keep your mouth shut in the areas of freedom that Jesus leads you into, the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Keep your big mouth shut. That's an Ebal paraphrase. Don't turn to it. Just write it down and listen. Romans 14, 23. Romans 14, 23. Keep your big mouth shut. Ebal paraphrase. It says, hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. Keep your big mouth shut. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you into in faith, don't let the kids know. There are some on milk and some on meat. And those that are on meat have their senses exercised. That means they're mature and they've been exercising. That's the next verse. That's the last one in the chapter. How many feel like they learned something here tonight? Now, no offense, but it might be that some of you still are expecting the literal physical earth to catch fire. I'm not. And that's why. If you still want the place to burn, then, you know, go ahead with your thing and have your, you know, yeah. After all, that's what the quartets sing about. But I believe now that we're being seen a little more clearly. How many feel like you're seeing a little more clearly? That the destiny of this ball is not to burn up, but the destiny of the law of Moses is to be baptized into a death, to be separated, to cast away, so that we can come into the new earth, the new world, the new government, and the new governed, a new system of things. And it behooves every one of us, if Jesus said, what do I care if it's already be kindled? Let it burn. Let it burn. A while back, some people were telling me that a certain speaker should not speak because that man brings division. My question is, does he have a chapter and verse? And does he teach truth? Yes. But he brings division. Therefore, we must reject him. Because God is not the author of confusion. And division is confusion, and it's upsetting the place around here. And besides that, did you notice what happened to the offering? That's exactly what they said in the book of John. If we let this man continue, our position will be taken from us. And what did Jesus bring? And every time he spoke truth. And his truth was a sharp two-edged sword that brought division. And the fire that's being kindled right now is the truth of God. And the truth will always bring division. The truth of God will always separate and bring division. For the knife in the surgeon's hand has a purpose in cutting off the cancer. And the restoration of truth will not bring more people. Narrow is the way. And every step gets narrower. Yeah. And few there be that find it. The truth is not where the crowds are. That's not what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a explanation of where crowds are and where crowds aren't. That's not what we're talking about now. Can't look, you know, compare sizes. But there will be a few who will see it, who will see truth, go on in God, who will be able to cast off the yoke. You know what it said there in Galatians, the next, Galatians 5:1? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And it's very clear what that yoke of bondage is. And now we know what the fire is, and now we know what the fire is going to burn. It's the yoke of bondage. I'd like for you to stand with me and pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. Increase our understanding, Lord. Give us gifts. Give us the charisma of the Holy Ghost. And let that light shine. Let that light which is in each one of us shine forth. The light of Jesus Christ, the truth of His freedom, release us from the bondage of darkness that has held us to the systems and rudiments and teachings of this world. Let us be free to enter into this new world, this new government, this new system, these new heavens that are so swiftly coming upon us. We pray, Lord, that each one of us might have the sensitivity to follow Your Spirit, the leading of Your Spirit. Thank You for the past leadings, and we pray that we'll continue to be sensitive so that we don't goof up, and we keep on going. We pray, Lord, for bulldog tenacity to hold on to those things that have released us. And we pray, Lord, for the ability to let go of things that we were rooted in, but now we discover are keeping us from going on. Thank You, Lord, for the spirit of love that I've felt here as I've recontacted my friends we haven't seen for a while. We pray, Lord, that spirit of love will continue to bind us together, that this will be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The thing that was asked to me by several people, if God talked to Moses and God gave the laws to Moses, then how come they're no good? Look, we didn't say they're no good. They're good for the time and the children. Isn't that what he said? As your child under tutors and governors. And who are the tutors and governors? Those that are teaching the law. You need the law while your child. But there's coming a time when you grow up. Now let's do it another way. 430 years before, hear me, before Moses, there was a man named Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. Is that correct? Amen. But Abraham did not have the law. The law came 430 years after. Mm-hmm. So Abraham did lots of things 430 years before the law that the law would have killed him for. Yet Abraham was a friend of God and is in the Hall of Fame. God's Hall of Fame. You know what I'm talking about, the Hebrews 11. Now what's that mean? As a child, he wasn't under the same rules and laws that an adolescent is under. Am I making sense to you on this? And an adolescent thinks that the law book fell on them. Come on, how many have adolescents? And isn't that their constant complaint? Yak, 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 yak. This, this, that, that. Have you heard them talking? Because of all of the laws you're putting them under. Is that correct? All right, that's the Moses type. Now the Abraham type, that's your six-year-old. And you know what? A baby's not under any law at all. A baby can get away with anything. Is that correct? As they continue to grow, we put them under more and more laws. Is that correct? Until they get to be adolescents, teenagers, and they've got so much law that they're absolutely convinced that the best thing to do is to leave home. Come on. Then, after they continue to mature, they finally come back and say, Dad, when I was 16, I was absolutely convinced that you were the dumbest man I had ever seen. But now that I'm 24, I'm surprised at how much you've learned. And what is that? He's maturing, is that correct? Child matures. And as the child matures, we begin to take off the rules, is that right? Until finally, when we manifest him to the world, he's not under law anymore at all. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him? And he's under his own laws. We have four children in our home, and they're all under different laws. And I'm not a bad father, I'm a fair father. Because I have different rules for each child according to their maturity. And that's exactly the way God treats us. When we started out, no law. As we began to mature, more and more law. Until we became full-grown sons. And he sent his son to relieve us from the law so that now we make our own laws. And that's the way it is in everybody's family. And now we're subject to our own law. We have to answer to ourselves and for ourselves for our own acts. And we're not under grandpa or daddy's laws. That at one time were very good for us and healthy and kept us out of a lot of trouble, would you admit it? Huh? Kept us out. There was a reason for it. It was good for us. We're not finding fault with it. Except it's time to grow up. So there's nothing wrong with Moses' law for children. But for adults and mature people in God, then you've got to go through Jesus Christ and keep his rules.
For a free list of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David E. Ball Bible School,